The numbers told the story. They always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Good Wednesday morning to you. Good in quotes. It's a numbers game at VSiN, the sports betting network, VSiN.com, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV. It's Gil Alexander. It's Kelly Bidlin live from Bar Canada at the D. Good morning to you, Kelly Bidlin.
Hey, buddy.
How are you?
I'm doing okay. How are you today?
I slept on it. We're good. We're referring to, by the way, we have a show today.
We do have a show.
We'll work on the music. Didn't really expect to have the cars blaring in the background while we do this segment, but on the show today, JVT will join us. Felica, Will Hill, Jason Weingarten. We'll have a bunch to talk about. NBA, obviously, coming up. But we've got to talk about what happened last night to our 65-1 ticket on the Cleveland Guardians, most wins March and April. That was offered at Circa. It was offered at some dead heat shops like DraftKings and at William Hill Caesars. And there's no way to sugarcoat this. That's the I'll repeat what I texted Bill, what I actually tweeted out last night. That's the sickest beat that I've ever endured in my gambling life. And I am unlikely to ever experience something as sick ever again. And what I mean by that, let me clarify. In a vacuum, what happened last night, the Houston Astros, or I should say the Guardians, from the Guardians' perspective, the Guardians one out away from winning this bet, likely to have won this bet for us, and as it turned out, it was one out away from winning this bet. Two-run homer by the Astros. Astros beat the Guardians 10-9. In a vacuum, that doesn't happen every night in baseball, but you're liable to see a result like that once a week, maybe once every 2 weeks, where it gets down to the last out and then a game changes. So in a vacuum, it's not the worst beat of all time. It's baseball happened to you. But given the stakes, given how many people rode this bet, all the numbers game listeners who rode this bet, how many people rooted us on even if they weren't involved in the bet, and the fact that we lived it for 34 days... And it came down to the final games of the final night, to the point, Kelly, where text started to fly around. What if these games don't end till May? What if they last long enough? Then what happens? Like, that's the mishugas that was happening with these. So
you mean like B-gate? If that became a thing, like if the Dodgers, right? If the Dodgers had won, right?
In Houston time, like people were sending around those texts.
Like that, yeah. Right? If the extras kept going.
What if it ends in May? Does that count? You know, those kinds of things. So it was just, given those stakes, it's the sickest thing that's ever happened. Again, 65-1.
And how everything else, like the rest of the night, went your way almost, well, right?
So the whole... And we're going to read all the tweets, all the great tweets from last night, too. But it, you know, my whole day was set around 5:10 Pacific, 6:40 Pacific, the 90-minute stagger between the Guardians game and the Braves game. All we needed at Circa was for the Guardians to win and the Braves to lose. Those were both dogs to happen, but it's baseball. And so I get there. I'm at the Aria VIP section, and it's me, not by myself this time, but with a band of Orlando Magic fans led by this lady who wanted everybody in the VIP section to know that she knew all the Magic on a first-name basis. So no matter what happened in the Magic game on the big screen, she's like, oh, come on, Jamal. Oh, Paolo, I hate when you do that. Right, that kind of thing. I was enduring. So I'm in my...
Welcome to Vegas, Florida people. Yeah!
I'm in my zone watching my screens. And I make the modicum of a bet on the... Astros to start the game. But, you know, I'm not like a hedger by nature on the final day. And we've made tons of money on this. Not nearly 65-1. And I made one hedge earlier. But then two batters into the game, Kelly. Cleveland gets the first two batters on. And I'm like, forget this. Guardians plus 102. I'm out of another. And two batters later, Ramirez pops up. And then we'll get to Gattis. Josh Naylor, Oppo Yard, three-run Jimmy Jack. It's 3-0 Guardians. And I'm like, genius, genius bet. And this is going to work out perfectly because now the Guardians are going to smooth sail. And I can consider a Braves bet before 6:40 Pacific. Perfect start to the game. This is awesome. Except for the fact, what happened was we had Carlos Carrasco on the mound. And this is not vintage Carrasco. And you could tell by the at-bat that he had against Alex Bregman in the first inning, where we just kind of escaped that at-bat, that Bregman was actually locked in. And sure enough, when Bregman comes up in the third with two men on, he just blasts the first pitch over the fence into the stands, 3-3. And then before you could say, well, this was a fun ride, it's 5-3. And then with two men on, John Singleton, great movie, Boys in the Hood, by the way, you should absolutely watch it. John Singleton golfs like a fairway three wood, golfs it into the right field stands, and it's 8-3. Go from, okay, this is going to be a smooth sailing night into, oh, it's over.
Yeah.
Fourth inning, it's over. It's 8-3. And at that point, we start sending around the text, because me and Felica and Will Hill have sort of lived this on a daily basis, if not a inning by inning basis. And at that point, the texts start going around where I'm like, hey, this was great to share this with you guys. What a ride. You know, what a bet. That kind of tone, down 8-3. So for the fourth inning and the rest of the fourth inning and the fifth inning, this bet is done. It's over. We lost. Done. And I'm listening to the, you know, the Magic Girl talking about calling, was it Joe Ingles? Dad. She calls him Dad the whole time. Great play, Dad. I'm like, oh my God, I don't even know why I'm sticking around. We're down 5, right? But I'm like, well, you know, for 5.5 years on this show, I did the show off the top of my dome. And then when Kelly got here a couple years ago, there's actually something called a rundown I learned in media. And so I'm like, well, Kelly should probably want me to know something about basketball, so I better pay attention. And then the sixth inning comes around, and Kwan triples, and Jimenez then just destroys a ball into the right field stands. It's 8-5. So I text Felica and Will, because I don't know if Felica's watching anymore, right? Because you know how some people are half glass full, half empty? Felica gambles at 7/8 empty. He's just Mr. Pessimism. So I send him 8-5, and I'm thinking as he receives this, he's like, yeah, whatever. Because he'd be right. We're still down three runs. Yeah. Still down three runs. And then two more men get on. Walk, hit by pitch, and Esteban Florial steps to the plate. Now, I don't know if you remember this early in this bet. The Guardians lost a best-of-three series to the Yankees largely because Florial got rung up by an umpire. That was such a bad call that umpire auditor had it as like his sixth worst call of the entire week in baseball. In fact, there were five worse, and it was amazing.
Yeah.
So I thought to myself, as Florial is stepping out of the plate and he starts fouling off pitches, I'm like, wouldn't this be the most poetic thing ever? If after that horrible call so many weeks ago, if he parked this, and sure enough, as he starts fouling off pitches, you're like, is this about to happen? Bam, gone. And I, from quiet little guy locked into my screens, erupt. And I start going around the VIP area, cursing like you couldn't imagine in a guttural tone. And the Magic Girl looks at me in horror. She's terrified to the point where I'm like, sorry. She goes, no, it's okay. It's okay. Just rooting on your team. I mean, yeah, that's all I'm doing. I'm rooting on.
So you're rooting on your team.
That's all I'm doing.
In a sports book.
Yeah. So 8-8, this cannot possibly be happening. This can't be happening. Now, the whole time this is going on, Luis Castillo in Seattle, half a country away, is giving us everything we need against the Atlanta Braves. He's mowing down the Braves. And then Jorge Polanco hits a two-run homer in Seattle. They eventually go up 3-0. And then in the seventh, while that's happening, the Guardians load the bases with one out in the meat of the order. Jose Ramirez and Josh Naylor. This is going to happen. It's about to go down. They don't get a single run.
Oh, I didn't catch that part of it.
They don't get a single run. So you're like, okay, well, at least we got the Mariners thing going. So this is fitting. It's coming down to the actual Guardians game. For the circuit people, the dead heat people, good God. We'll get to that in a moment. And then Josh Hader comes in for the Astros. Class A comes in for the Guardians in the ninth. We're going to extras because, of course, we're going to extras. Of course, this bet is going to come down to extras in the final game. And Joe Espada, the Astros manager, of course, realizing the stakes of this bet, keeps Hader in for a second inning. By the way, why they didn't lead on SportsCenter with these two games last night, I have no idea. I don't know what they were doing. They're showing basketball and hockey. Apparently, that was going on as well. So Espada, he puts in Hader in the top of the 10th. First two batters out. And then David Fry steps to the plate, man on second. And I thought he jacked it over the left field fence. Instead, it's a double. Ghostman scores. We are three outs away. Three outs away. Everybody's texting. Three outs away. Three outs away. Do you ever watch the 30 for 30 on the Red Sox and the Mets 1986 World Series?
Yeah.
One of the only things I remember from it is they were smart enough to capture a Red Sox fan. And in those days, Kelly, on phones, this is before your time, you could punch in six of the seven numbers of a phone number, and then you could hold your finger over the seventh, and the phone would hold the first six, and then once you hit the seventh, the call would go through. So this guy wanted to share this great moment of this cursed franchise. The Red Sox were about to win the World Series, so he punched in six numbers, and he was about to hit the seventh to share it with his lifelong Red Sox buddy. And then Gary Carter hit a single up the middle, and he puts the phone down, and then it comes down to the final strike again, and he hits the next six numbers again, and about to hit the seventh, and then Mookie goes through Bill Buckner's legs, and the Mets win, and he just puts the phone down, and he sulks away. Three outs. Hunter Gaddis comes in. Hunter Gaddis, who gacked the game on Sunday against the Braves when the Guardians were up 3-1 in the eighth. Gaddis strikes out the first batter. Two outs. Everybody's texting each other. The modern-day version of this Red Sox story. Then, second batter out. One out away. By this time, I'm alone in the VIP area. One out away. 1-0 pitch. First of all, up steps Victor Caratini, a peripatetic journeyman player who has played Victor in the Caratini. National League for almost a decade and has probably hit 38, I think I looked it up, 38, 39 homers, something like that, lifetime. 1-0 pitch. Gone. Right field stands. You know how in life, when your eye sees something, it immediately registers in your brain and there's no gap in that? This was one of these rare moments where your brain wouldn't accept what just happened until about 2.5 seconds later. And I'm like, is there a rewind button? What just happened?
I just pulled up the highlight again. Every time
I just fell backwards onto the couch staring at the Aria ceiling. And that.
Brutal.
That. Dead Heater still had a chance. That's next.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Are you ready to become your own sports betting expert? Look no further than a VSiN Pro subscription, your ticket to insider insights, exclusive data, and winning strategies. For a limited time only, we're offering our annual subscription at an unbeatable price. Normally priced at $240, you can now grab your subscription for just $199. Sign up today. We'll also give you an extra 2 months for free. That's 14 months of VSiN Pro access for less than 50 cents a day when you use promo code ANG. Less than 50 cents, Kelly. With VSiN Pro, you'll gain instant access to our daily best bets with a leaderboard to see who has the best win percentage and ROI, 19 hours of live programming, including expert breakdowns and in-game analysis, proven betting systems for professional handicappers, and our exclusive betting splits to show you where the money and bets are moving for every game. Visit VSiN.com/subscribe today to claim your 14 months of VSiN Pro for only $199. You got to use promo code ANG. What's the promo code, Kelly?
ANG. What does that stand for? A numbers game with Gil Alexander. ANG.
You just have to put the ANG part, though. That's VSIN.
Yeah, you don't got to put all that. Just ANG.
That's VSIN.com/subscribe. Gil Alexander, Kelly Bidlin, live from Bar Canada at the D. The rest of that story is people were so nice that when that happened, some people were like, well, you know what? The Braves have the bases loaded and they're coming back. So maybe the Braves will win and it won't be as gut-wrenching. Of course, the Braves didn't, by the way. But at that point, I was like, well, that's a nice sentiment. But, you know, there's the Dead Heat guys at DraftKings and at William Hill Caesars. They can still, and by the way, it was literally going to be 20% of Major League Baseball in this Dead Heat. Everybody with 19 wins was losing. And then I think one came up. I think the Orioles came up. So it was literally going to be six teams in a scrum if everything held courts. But I was still rooting for them to get something out of it, right? So the Braves lose, and then late into the night, the Phillies win. They come from behind to beat the Angels. We should probably point out, you and I both made a bet yesterday.
Yeah.
Mike Trout is going to be out for minimum of 4 to 6 weeks. He was real emotional. I was walking through the casino. I was looking at this.
Yeah, I caught that, too.
But we made a bet, because we were talking about this yesterday on the show, fewest losses in Major League Baseball, and I was saying how the White Sox and the Rockies were appropriately priced. They're horrible. But if you force me to make one, the Angels were 40-1 yesterday during the show. Then the Trout news comes down. I'm like, all right, I'm going to bet this.
Yeah.
30-1 is what we got it at yesterday on the Angels, who are five wins better than the worst teams in baseball right now. Anyway, the Phillies come from behind to beat the Angels. And then the Diamondbacks come from behind in a bee-infested delayed game. It's like Indian Wells all over again. To beat the Dodgers. And so if you had the Phillies, you take it all. Look at those final standings. Again, April, May, 20-11. The Phillies are the only team of the six that got to 20. The other five remain at 19. The Guardians end up third. So if you had the Phillies, by the way, in this, please let us know. Please let us know what odds you got. And I want to shout out Brian Schaefer, who's been one of our tweeters. He called the Phillies like a week ago.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And from a Guardians perspective, we never really had to worry about the Phillies because it didn't apply. But the Phillies are the team that gets it. And someone pointed out, yeah, with a run differential the same as the Diamondbacks. Well, it's more of an outlier for the Diamondbacks than it is the Phillies.
Especially though, if you had this bet like in a dead heat shop, too. Like the Phillies, like you somehow just scoop it all. Like none of these other teams come. I mean, that was the other part of it with the Guardians, right? That's so painful this morning. You know, you win. Even if you're at a dead heat shop, you're only chopping this one way.
Yes, that's correct.
Like, we were going, how much time do we spend yesterday talking about, oh boy, how bad could this be? You got to chop it 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 ways. No, it only would have been once.
Yeah. Can I read some tweets?
Yeah.
We'll get to basketball, I promise. But we just have to. I mean, we've lived with this, right? Dan Shepard, of all people, Estevan Florial. So this is while it's happening in real time, right? This is the tied up at 8 apiece. Of all people, Estevan Florial keeps the hope alive. Hopefully karma from the Yankees series. He was on it. D-Mark B, quoting Jack Buck, I can't believe what I just saw. This is after the Florial home run. Jeff Weisenborn, I wish so badly we had live video of Gil watching the Guardians game. What a roller coaster. You could really have done a documentary on this bet. The way that it ended, if you had written this script, they wouldn't have accepted it. They've been like, this is bull.
Yeah.
Like, this is too outlandish. John Fitzgibbons, call a doctor. You know you need to listen when your body tells you things. Go Gil's Guardians. Oh, as I said, I can't breathe. I said at that point. Podiatron, let's go. I didn't make the bet, but I hope you will. I hope you win. I think if you win, you should release your sushi place. That's good karma. I literally was going to come in and just say the sushi place if they won.
Okay.
I was. I'm telling you, I was. Forrest Lehman. To say you're getting your money worth would be the understatement of the year. Aaron Bender, I'm on the edge of my seat and I have nothing on it. Go, Tribe, go. Kenny Kubacki, if this was a movie, I'd be rolling my eyes. This isn't realistic. What a ride following your bet. Dusty, would love a live feed of Gil watching this game right now. Benny Warnick, the fact I'm on the edge of my seat for a Cleveland-Houston game at the end of April proves this most wins bet is incredible. Hats off, Gil, for an awesome ride. Jeremy Pucko, this has been the most fun month of baseball in a long time. Not sure how I don't do a month bet from here on out, win or lose. And then he goes home run J-Rod. I think he meant Jorge Polanco at that point. Joe Belicious, who names his Twitter handle is named after Joe Boo from Major League, and that was the Cleveland Indians, remember? Joe Belicious, because I have no skin in the game, but just did a free trial of MLB.tv just to watch this game and see it through. The best listeners.
Oh, that's what I could have done. Yeah, I just was watching the scores.
Oh, that's what I could
have done. A free trial. There we go.
Vegas Dreaming. Anyone check on Gil? How's he holding up? Hashtag edge of seat. Raul Campa. I'm an Astros fan and I'm rooting for you. Sly Bry, DJ Sly Bry, my man. He goes, my man has people sweating 2 baseball games on April 30th. Well done, brother. Matthew Livingston. One day they'll make a movie about this bet. PJ, oh man, of course it turns out to be the sweat of the century, but ultimately fell short. Oy vey, it was a great follow. This is when they lose now. It was a great follow, and we will still never know the sushi place. Buddhist man, as I sit here with my minuscule bet on Baltimore for most April wins with 19 in the clubhouse and a dead heat shop, I still found myself rooting for the Guardians for you and the rest of the ANG family. I'm sick for all of you in this epic run at glory ended that way. Can we cue the patriotic music for this one? Can we do this one? This is from Mr. Lucky. Remember, Mr. Lucky was the one who posted yesterday and got me to make a May bet. He's quoting Theodore Roosevelt. The man in the arena is not the critic who counts, not the man who points out how the strong man stumbles or where the doer of deeds could have done them better. The credit belongs to the man who is actually in the arena, Kelly, whose face is marred by dust and sweat and blood, who strives valiantly, who errs, who comes short again and again, who spends himself in a worthy cause, who at the best knows in the end the triumph of high achievement, and who at the worst, if he falls, at least fails while daring greatly, so that his place shall never be with those cold and timid souls who neither know victory nor defeat. It was just a bet in April and March. I didn't like really reach the shores of Normandy, but I appreciate that.
It took me a second there. I thought it was dust and sweat I heard. I was like, I don't want dust and sweet sweat on me.
Theodore Roosevelt to talked softly and carried a big stick. I don't know if you know that about him.
Yes, 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 I've heard that.
Do you imagine if that was the motto today, what people would have done with that? Yeah, it wouldn't have been good. I'll read some more tweets later. But these are awesome. I just want to say two more things. And I do want to say this again, because I've said this, and we're obviously not going to talk about this bet much after today. But I just want to say again, I appreciate everybody who the explanation on this bet resonated with, that bet on this with us. You're awesome. I'm sorry it didn't win in the end, but what a ride it was. And then again, to those who didn't even bet it and who were rooting us on, it just meant so much to us, me especially. And it was just so great to do it with everything. I also want to say this in our final minute or so talking about this, and this will be corny to some people, but I don't really care. This was kind of one giant love letter to the sport of baseball. Like, this was one of those things where it reminds us how great this sport can be. And I know this was some kooky March, April bet where the players on the field had no idea that we were even, that we even had all of this at stake. But baseball at its best, because we sort of like this bet manufactured. Imagine betting enhancing the enjoyment of a sport. This bet manufactured an October feel, like a pennant race feel or a playoff series feel. And there is something, what is Bob Costas's line? He goes, football's a one-night stand, but baseball's a romance. And there is something about the quiet moments of baseball where the tension grows that is not duplicated in any other sport. And it's regional now. I know, like, you know, it's Boston and New York and San Francisco and Houston, wherever teams are good, and when they're good, it's going to erupt. But in those towns that I just talked about, Philly, it's kind of a big sport no matter what. But largely it is regional. And I just, everything about it, from Florial's home run to tie it up at eight, from the, you know, the home run in Seattle from Mitch Garver the previous night, to just getting our hearts taken out from us yesterday. Everything about it was so specifically unique in the way, obviously, you can get ripped apart in other sports as well, betting and watching as a fan. But there is something about the suddenness and the drama of the sport of baseball that you just hope that Rob Manfred and those guys figure it out, that this sport should not go by the wayside like boxing and horse racing did, which were such big sports when we were kids. And it feels like it's headed that way as the generations go on. But this was just a great microcosm of an example through our bet, by the way. If we don't have a bet, we don't care.
Oh, yeah.
We don't. I texted Adam Burke and apologized. Stealing his team
for another month.
Yeah.
Back at it.
Thank you, Ben Wilson, for the text. Thank you, everybody, for the text. We'll come back. NBA on the other side. Will Hill. It's a numbers game at Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
A numbers game on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Gil Alexander, Kelly Bidlin, live from Bar Canada at the D on a Wednesday. A special numbers game investigation reveals, Kelly, that there were other sports last night that were played. I'm sure if you're aware of that.
There was.
Yeah, we should get to them.
It is National Hug a Guardians Better or New York Knicks Fan Day, because, oh boy.
The Knicks up six with 29 seconds left in the game. They're about to close out the Sixers in a 4-1 best of seven first round series. What is their win probability at that moment? 99%. Gotta be, right?
Yeah. Gotta be.
Then Tyrese Maxey.
They're showing every New York Knicks legend standing up, getting ready to celebrate.
Well, Patrick Ewing wasn't standing up, but you understand, right?
Yeah.
Spree's there. Was Bernard King
there? It was a moment, right? It was going to be the first time they won a playoff series on the home court since 1999. They were all ready to party.
Strike shortened year 99. It was, so it's happening. And then Tyrese Maxey comes down court, and he might have traveled. And then he initiates contact with the defender behind the arc while jumping forward, gets contact, hits the three, gets the foul, 4-point play. Knicks are up two. Then is it Josh Hart that goes to the line?
Josh Hart
makes one of two. Then the Knicks don't foul. Maxey, dead center of the court, top of the key. Bam! Three-pointer, and we are tied, and we are going to overtime. And then the Knicks go up five. All those things had to happen for the Sixers. The 4-point play manufactured, the missing of the free throw, the not fouling. Oh, you know how much I love that.
Oh, dude, it has been an epidemic this postseason.
An epidemic. And then the Knicks go up 5 in overtime, but then they get into this thing where it's almost too much Jalen Brunson driving to the hole, and Embiid on one leg is like, you are not scoring. Bam. You are not scoring. No. Sixers force a game 6. And now, oh, my God. Will Hill joins us, everybody, at Not The Will Hill. He is the host of the Shoulda Bet More podcast. He also had a Guardians bet. Will, would you like to say a couple words about that, courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line?
What's going on? Yeah, that really happened last night, didn't it? But by the way, Joel Embiid sounds a lot like your mom, so I can't tell the difference between the two.
Like my mom? Are you kidding me?
Well, the voices you use kind of the same voice for both of them.
For Embiid and my mom who goes, yeah. Gilly, I don't know if you should do that. That sounded like Embiid to you? What are you talking about? Okay, all right, Will. That's okay. Will's got Guardians hangover.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, look, I went into the game... Sunday is when it got lost because anyone that bet it with dead heat rules, you didn't go into Tuesday night with visions of grandeur like you're going to win the whole thing. So I was more, honestly, I feel worse for you because you were about to take down the whole damn thing, and not to rub salt in the wound. But if they get the final out, then you could take the Braves plus the runs or whatever.
Correct.
In the middle of the thing. Oh, my goodness. So I really felt more bad for you, worse for anyone that had it just outright, because you never went into that day with all the teams. And there were so many crazy games. Like Philly played a crazy game. They blew the lead, then rallied late. And, you know, there's just so many moving parts that you never felt like you're going to take the whole thing with Cleveland. And who knows what the dead heat would have paid 2, 3, 4 teams. But my goodness, the last three games, I don't know. I'm sure you mentioned that the last three games all went extra innings. And I think they were undefeated in extra innings until Sunday. And again, Sunday is really when they blew it. And then last night I couldn't even watch. I was watching on the DraftKings app, and I couldn't watch the game, and I was just peeking every couple of whatever, you know, they give you the, I don't know if people follow along that way, but they give you the score, how many outs there are and who's on base. And then it was like 1 out, 2 outs, 9-8. And then all of a sudden I see the 10-9 and I just, my soul left its body. I'm just in shock. Absolutely in shock.
My soul left its body. That's exactly right. Like, it's just no words. There are no words. Yeah, it happened. That was my first reaction. Did that happen?
Yeah, not to state the obvious, it would have been so much easier. Just 8-3. Hey, it was a good run. Came down the last day.
Right.
We lost. Big deal.
That's right. 100%. It's like, oh, it's over. Okay, that's good. At least they ripped the Band-Aid off. No, couldn't be that way. What about the Knicks and the Sixers? If the Sixers force a game 7, what is the level of pressure that will be on the New York Knickerbockers at that point, given what happened last night?
Yeah, I think we're headed that way too. And you mentioned it. It's all Brunson for the Knicks. It's their whole offense. Just give Brunson the ball, get out of the way. They have no other plays. So you worry he's getting worn down, but Embiid looks so worn down. So I don't know. From a betting angle, like game 6, I would look at it under. That was a painful loss. I know, Cleveland was as painful loss as there was at 65-1. But if you had the under last night, that's a rough one. I would probably go back to an under 200.5 for game 6. It's so physical. These teams are worn down, and Embiid's worn down, Brunson's worn down. I think it's going to be hard for the winner to get into triple digits, but I do think we're headed for a game 7. These teams are very equal. Now you could say if you're the Sixers, hey, we stole one, but you guys stole one from us. So maybe 3-2 is the proper score heading back to Philly. This shouldn't have been a 5-game series though. These teams are too evenly matched for this to go 5. So it's almost kind of justice that this goes 6 or 7. I don't know. Do you get the sense Philly's going to steal? I think the Knicks find a way to get a split here. They probably win game 7 with home court, with 2 chances to win 1 game. Knicks probably advance. And what makes it so dramatic, too, is who you got in the next round. It's probably the Pacers, although who knows with Giannis and Lillard possibly coming back. But this is almost like a double win, a double series where you win this, you're whatever, one stop away, 20 seconds away from not just going to the second round, you're probably going to the conference finals.
That's
now,
right.
Porzingis is banged up.
Yeah.
So there's that element too, where, man, it's just, there's so much on the line. I wonder too, 26 seconds left, 25 seconds left, the 3 goes in. How many times this year was a team up 6 with 25 seconds left that lost the game?
Yeah.
Maybe once, maybe twice. Did it happen once all year? It's really incredible.
It's incredible. Sixers are 3.5-point favorites tomorrow night in game 6. It's so funny that like my screen is saying that's May 2nd. I know it's May. I know the bet is over. Like I'm screaming at my screen. I get it. It's May. Sixers are 3.5-point favorites tomorrow night. The other one last night that was pushed to a game 6 that might not otherwise have been was this Bucks rout of the Pacers without Giannis, as you say, without Dame. And by the way, Doc Rivers now commenting on the availability of those two guys for game six, did the thing that you do, Kelly, when you're in first grade, when you write a lot of varies, you're like, I'm very, 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 very happy to be here. Right. That kind of thing. He says they're very, very, very close. He said that was what Doc Rivers' exact quote on them.
So uninspiring, though.
Doc or the
Doc, like, yeah. The way Doc said it, yeah. like if you just read the quote, like, it's right. Like, you're like, oh, they might be back. Yeah. You like listen to him talk about it, like, I don't think they're going to be back.
But that's the thing about being up 3-1 when you don't have home court to begin the playoffs. Like, games 5 and 7 are still away, and so they lose to the Bucks, and now it's the one chance you have at home. The Pacers are talking about up 3-2. The one chance you have at home. They're 8.5-point favorites tomorrow night. But the specter of Giannis or Dame just sort of hovering over this, do you have a play in that, Will?
I took the points. There's an 8.5 out there. Again, I didn't see the quote. I read the Rivers quote, so maybe I got lured in here where Doc really made it seem like, who knows, they could be playing in game six. But the market doesn't seem to think they're playing. But look, if you're taking 8.5, it's kind of a free roll. If they play, you obviously have a fantastic number. And if you don't play, you probably just have a fair number. What a dismal performance, by the way, by the Pacers last night. I mean, that group of Bucks to get run off the court, to run you off the court like they did, that's just a horrible performance. So I took the points with the Bucks, and you make such a good point when it's so different down 3-1 when you have 5 and 7 at home. Where it's just, yep, hey, you need to steal 6 and then just hold serve in 5 and 7. So that's why what Philly would do, you know, if Philly does win the series, it's so unusual. Let me put you on the spot. You're good with these history ones, a little trivia. How many teams in NBA history have won down 3-1 when they didn't have game 7 at home? So you don't have home court advantage down 3-1. It has happened, but how many times?
It's less than 5, isn't it?
Two,
yeah.
Yeah, there was a Rocket series in the mid-90s, and then, of course, the famous one, the Warriors and the Cavs in the 2016 finals.
Yeah, that's right. It just doesn't happen this way when you don't start with home court. By the way, the Magic, of course, the other game last night, so don't I know it from my VIP experience yesterday at Aria, they end up losing because Evan Mobley blocks a Franz Wagner potential game-tying layup, and the Cavs hold on. So the Cavs are up 3-2. We go back to Orlando. Orlando's 3.5-point favorites. This is not tomorrow night. This is on Friday night. Any thoughts there?
You know, it's hard to go against Franz and Paolo and Jamal all at home. Now, I don't know. I think usually when you don't break through in terms of home court early in the series, usually home court holds up throughout. So I would expect the Magic to win, and probably Cavs win in 7. Really, that was a good game last night, but that has been an uninspiring series. Last minute or so, I will say, though, because it's the last time before the series starts, I did take a 1.5 with the T-Wolves. I saw enough of Denver where I think there's so many comparisons with them and the Chiefs, Jokic, Mahomes, but the comparisons keep going because the Nuggets find a way, just like the Chiefs found a way, but they're not dominant this year. They're really not, and the Timberwolves have a lot of size they can throw at Denver. They have a lot of bigger wings, so it's hard to pick against Jokic. It's hard to pick against the home court. I think Denver wins the series, but you get two chances to win with Minnesota, where either they win the series outright or they win 7 or go 7 and you win your bet. I don't think the Nuggets will sweep. I don't think they'll win in 5. Maybe you lose in 6 here, but T-Wolves plus 1.5, I think, is a good bet.
Will, can you hang with us for 5 more minutes, talk about tonight's 2 games? Your thoughts on those?
Absolutely, sure.
Will Hill, everybody. At Not The Will Hill, the name of the podcast, Shoulda Bet More. Shoulda Bet More, wherever podcasts are distributed. We'll get to the Heat and the Celtics as the Celtics look to close out the Heat in Game 5, Boston, and then the Mavs and the Clips trying to break that 2-2 tie of that series. Coming back, Numbers Game, Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
Numbers Game on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Kentucky Derby coming up on Saturday, 150th run for the Roses. Are you ready for the greatest 2 minutes in sports? Saddle up with DK Horse, an official DraftKings affiliate. Right now, new customers download the DK Horse app. You get a 100% deposit bonus up to $250 when they opt in with code VSiNHorse. All one word. Don't put a space between the VSiN and the horse. VSiN Horse. Just deposit $25 or more and complete the playthrough requirement. Download DK Horse now to join the Run for the Roses action only on the DK Horse app. We get tweets at Beating the Book. I want to read, because you guys are the best. I want to read more. Roger Jones, heartbreaking loss, Gil, but I personally want to thank you guys for great content daily and for including the audience. Thank you, guys. Thank you, Roger. Tommy Lorenzo also had 65-1 on the Tribe. He said, unbelievable. I've been a sports bettor for over 30 years. Perhaps my worst bad beat ever. Yes, Tommy, you and me both. Anthony T., now you're a true Guardians fan. They have been letting you and all of Cleveland down. We got a lot of those, too, where the Cleveland fans are like, welcome to our lives. Topher Barron, still in shock. That said, my book pays out if, this is last night when it's happening. He goes, my book pays out if Atlanta, Philly, and the Dodgers lose to tie in the ninth, or at 19. That said, we had everything from multiple walk-offs and a B delay in the last 24 hours. Thanks for the enjoyment on an incredible bet. Urasai guy. Sometimes sports betting can be so cruel. That was a gut punch. We all feel your pain. Master of Puppets. Damn, Gil. Just saw what happened. That is up there with the Seahawks not running the ball in the Super Bowl, bad beat-wise. This one is more because of the 65-1 odds. Sorry, brother. Vegas regular. Sorry, Gil and Kelly, on the horrible Cleveland ending. A lot of crazy blank happens in the gambling world. Brutal ending. Rocky Childress, my condolences. It's all right. Thank you, Rocky. Brendan, this one stinks. Dukes in the PNW. The baseball gods, or hashtag gambling Hashem, are really putting together quite the card. Mariners did their part. Hashem is a literal the name, which is what Orthodox Jews like Todd Wishnev call God. And Todd always blames Hashem for his gambling problems or his bad beats. And then Steven at Brosek 1870. This is a great tweet. Brosek 1870 goes, and you're running it back for another month, sicko. That's right. We'll stop reading tweets for now for that. That's right. And I'm a sicko for running it back in May with the Guardians. I resemble that remark, Brosek. Will Hill, kind enough to join us again to talk baseball, basketball, whatever, on the Progressive Guest Line. We appreciate it. Name of the podcast again, Should Have Bet More. You having fun doing your podcast, Willie?
I am having a lot of fun, yes.
Oh, that was a very simple answer. Okay. Tonight, you're not touching the Heat and the Celtics, are you? Two touchdown favorite, Boston Celtics.
I bet the Celtics to sweep the series, and if the Celtics win big tonight, I'm gonna take my ticket up to the window and see if they just cash it out of kindness, because this really should have been a sweep. Celtics had no business losing a game here. I'm gonna go back to the well. I've been playing this all series. Heat team total under, I think 92.5. There's not a lot of paths for offense for this Miami team. They had that ridiculous game where Boston didn't guard the 3-point line in game two, and they buried 23 threes, but. I mean, there's just no shot creation with no Butler, no Rozier. There's just no offense there. If you close out on 3-point shooters, Miami doesn't have any pass to go. And maybe the first half under team total wise is the better way to go. I think 47.5, 48, something like that, because, Boston and a lot of teams do this. They get a big lead and the game kind of gets a little loosey goosey and you can get some cheap points. So maybe under 48 team total first half is the better way to play it. I'll probably play both where. I mean, if you look at these scores, Miami's like in the 30s in some of these games at halftime. They can't score. There's no offense for them. So I don't love laying 14. If I had to take it or lay it, I'd probably lay it. But it's ridiculous that we've even played a game five here.
Yeah, no Jaime Hawkins Jr. tonight for Miami either. So it just adds up. I'm with you. Well, I got nothing on that game, but I think that first half team total under is where I'd look. I think there's a possibility it gets to blowout territory in the second half. And like you said, it's just once you get to that point, who knows what gross things could happen.
It needs to be said again. What a shame that Jimmy Butler wasn't available here. What a shame that Zion wasn't available in the Pelican series. What a shame about Giannis and Dame.
That's incredible.
Now the Porzingis thing. Luka to some extent,
Joel
right? Joel Embiid, of course. It's just the first round of the NBA playoffs just got decimated. You know what else I thought about just thinking about the Knicks bad beat last night? Didn't Drew, God, I hope he doesn't mind me bringing this up. Didn't Drew have them minus 2.5 games in the series?
Mm-hmm.
And to win the series.
Bro, that dude is in the worst relentless run I've ever witnessed.
When it rains, it pours.
It's brutal. All right, good game tonight between the Mavs and the Clippers, at least on paper it is. This one's 2-2 between the fourth and fifth seeds in the Western Conference. Clip show. Home dogs, once again, Mavericks favored by 3.
Yeah, I haven't had a great feel for this series. Once I saw Kawhi was hurt and not going to be a factor in the series, I was like, all right, there's not a lot of paths for the Clippers to win this series, but Luka's banged up with the knee. So I don't know. I'd probably look at an under. I just think this has been kind of an ugly defensive series. I figure they'll probably split and play a game 7. I saw some books out there, Clippers plus 170 to win the series. Like, I'm not a huge Clippers guy, but should it really be plus 170 with 2 out of the 3 at home, Luka hobbled. Again, life on the line, no odds or whatever. I'd probably pick the Mavs to win, but that plus 170 seems like too long of a price. So I don't really have a great feel for the side. I guess, like I said, they'll probably split the next two. I would lean towards taking the Clippers plus the three. The Mavs win their home game, although home court has not meant a lot.
Nope.
When these two teams met up, remember that series a few years ago where I think road team went 6-1. The road teams have done okay here. And nobody in America, once the Mavs were down 31 and came back, took the lead, nobody in America thought the Clips were winning that game. So it's been a strange series. I would look at an under tonight, probably headed for 7 here.
All right. And repeat the Timberwolves bet real quick for those who missed it last segment.
Yeah, I like Minnesota. You can give it, bet the series spread. So you can get Minnesota plus 1.5 games where, I mean, not that I have to explain it, but just in case, it is a little bit of an odd market where if Minnesota wins the series, you win your bet. If the series goes 7, you win your bet. And again, I just think the Nuggets are good. They're still my pick to win it all, but they're not dominant. It was such a strange series with the Lakers where, man, it's amazing how those games are carbon copies of each other where the Lakers just dominate for 85% and then the Nuggets just, all right, we'll take it here at the end. So I think the Timberwolves is a good matchup for Minnesota where they have a bunch of size on the perimeter to throw at Murray. They have a size to throw at Jokic. Who knows how healthy Murray is? They've got the star in Edwards. Wouldn't be shocked if this goes 7 again. I don't think this is going 4 or 5. Maybe Denver wins it in 6, maybe, but I think 6 is kind of the minimum of this goes. And I just like the two chances to win where if Minnesota wins the series, you win your bet. And if Minnesota takes it to 7, you win your bet. And I don't know, we've seen some movement here towards the T-Wolves, not just in the series, but in game one where it opened 5 and that's starting to trickle down. The series price opened minus 230. That's really starting to trickle down. So I don't know. I'm curious what Kelly thinks about this matchup, but I do think this is probably the best matchup of the second round.
Yeah, it's tough. I think it's tough, Will, because that was the exact series price on the opener that I had guessed it was going to be. I was interested on getting in on Timberwolves with you, but then after it's just moved and moved and moved, I mean, if anything, I think there's a little bit of value on Denver, and I'm still going to be interested in Minnesota down the road. This game one movement is very interesting to me. I think Jamal Murray, still dealing with a bit of an injury is a bit of a question, but I'm a little shocked. We're under 5 now.
Nuggets by 4 in some shops.
Yeah, like I might be laying that game one with Denver because if anything, I think that's going to be the toughest game for Minnesota to go in there and steal. If you're assuming health everywhere, I think that one's going to be tough. I might bet them game one and then come back with Timberwolves stuff after that.
That's Saturday, by the way. Game one between the Nuggets and the T-Wolves. I almost laugh when I'm about to ask you, Will, but do you have any baseball today that you're diving back into? Or are we taking a break at the Hill household?
Cleveland and Houston tonight. Verlander versus McKenzie. Get excited. I did take Philly's first 5 on the money line. I think you shop around, you get like minus 180. Wheeler, who's absolutely incredible, going against the Angels, who I don't think you talked about it yet, but the Angels becoming... And really, Trout's becoming just a sad story. I mean, he was looking at it being one of like the 3-5 best players of all time. First half of his career, 7 top 2 finishes in MVP, 3 MVPs. He can't stay healthy, and he was killing the ball early in the season. It's just like, you know, you set your watch to it. It's like, it's only a matter of time before he gets hurt. And here he is where the Angels said, well, it's not season ending, which is not a great update, which means who knows when you're going to see him. But I do like Phillies on the money line. I know you mentioned the Angels as a worst record candidate. Just brutal luck that franchise has, just completely unlucky year in, year out. So I did play Phillies on the money line. I did take the Cubs on the money line with the lefty, the rookie Imanaga going against Budo. So Cubs, Phillies, and thinking about fading your Giants. Giants have not played well here. That was a disappointing performance by Webb last night. And then Cutter Crawford going for the Red Sox. He's been outstanding. So I might add the Red Sox here too.
Just real quick in our last 30 seconds, is there an equivalent for Mike Trout in any other sport? In other words, a guy who had a stretch of his career where he was undoubtedly considered the single best player in his sport. And yet, if he ran into some of my football fan buddies, they would not even know who he was.
Oh, no. I thought you meant in terms of the career arc. There's one in baseball. DeGrom is sort of like that, where he's on track with all these Cy Youngs to be just an all-time great pitcher. And it just injuries after injury every single year where the post-prime has just gotten destroyed here.
Yeah. Will, appreciate it, man. Thanks for hanging.
All right. See you guys. Thanks for having me.
At Not The Will Hill on Twitter. Again, the name of his podcast, Should Have Bet More. He's also, by the way, I buried the headline also. He's on the Bear Bets pod with Felica. Felica joining us a little later, by the way. He is. Zach Cohen, Felica, Weingarten. Everybody's coming up. Numbers Game, VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.